Coming to you now is Lehem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Greetings. Welcome to the show today. You know, today's passage in 1 John 5, like much of 1 John, it has to do with confidence. I don't know how confident you feel as a Christian, but I remember spending much of my younger years worried about the destination of my soul, where I was going. I remember I would pray the sinner's prayer sometimes a dozen or more times a day. I was terrified. I knew about faith, obviously, growing up in a Christian home, but I didn't have assurance. And you can imagine how most of my prayers came from a posture of fear rather than faith, rather than confidence. And that's why this epistle has been, at least for me, so transformative. John writes in verses 13 to 15, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him." Once an elderly man said to H.A. Ironside, "I will not go on unless I know that I'm saved, or else know that it's hopeless to seek to be assured of it. I want a definite witness, something I can't be mistaken about." Ironside replied, "Well, suppose you had a vision of an angel who told you your sins were forgiven. Would that be enough to rest on?" And the man said, "Yes, I think it would. An angel should be right." And Ironside continued, "But suppose on your deathbed, Satan came and said, 'You know, I was that angel, transformed to deceive you.' What would you say?" And the man was speechless. And Ironside then told him that God has given us something more dependable than the voice of an angel. He has given His Son, who died for our sins, and He has testified in His own word that if we trust Him, all our sins are gone. And Ironside read 1 John 5:13, "You may know that you have eternal life." And then he said, "Is that enough to rest on? It is a letter from heaven expressed to you." And you know, God's Spirit used that to bring assurance to the man's heart. And you know, those words of John can also be used by God to bring peace to your heart, to my heart. Peace concerning where we stand in relationship to the Savior. That is John's chief aim in this epistle, to give us assurance of our salvation. He writes, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life." Now, once again, this verse summarizes the theme of the entire book, which is to give the believer assurance of their salvation so that he might have confidence of where he stands with Christ. There are signs of transformation in the life of the believer that point us to the saving presence of Christ and His Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is there, making us like Christ, if we sense Him moving, then we know that we are in Christ, because it's only through Christ that we can receive the Holy Spirit. But how do we receive Christ to begin with? Verse 13 says that it involves us believing in the name of the Son of God. Now, what does it mean to believe in somebody's name? Well, keep in mind this is kingly terminology. If you come in the name of a king, you are a physical representation of them. You carry their authority, their power. And so to believe in Jesus' name is to believe in His authority and power. As what? Next phrase, the Son of God. And that is crucially important because we believe that Jesus' authoritative power to save and redeem, it comes from His being the Son of God, God in the flesh. If we have placed our faith and trust in Him, understanding who He is and what He has done for us, then we have come to the starting point of our salvation. We have entered into the fold of God. And as we remain in the fold, we become more and more like our shepherd in our character and in how we relate to our brothers and sisters in the world. And so because of what Christ has done for us, in us, and is doing through us, we can have assurance that yes, we are saved. But that assurance that we receive also can empower other aspects of our relationship with God. particularly our prayer life. And that's what John really focuses on in our passage today. Look at verse 14. It reads, "This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." I'm reminded of the story of Hagar in the Bible. You remember the woman that Sarah gave to her husband Abraham as a wife in order to conceive and bear an heir? And sure enough, she conceives. But she begins to despise Sarah. And Sarah, unable to stand it, she gets Abraham to surrender Hagar into her power. And then Sarah mistreats her, forcing her to flee into the wilderness. And so here's a woman in a desperate situation. She has no home, no security. And on top of that, she's pregnant and on her way back to her former home in Egypt. Yet God meets her by the well and He tells her to go back. And then He promises to bring many descendants from her and also makes a promise providing a future for her soon-to-be-born son. And God commands her to name her son what? Ishmael. And what does Ishmael mean? God hears. God wanted Hagar, every time that she called her son's name, to be reminded of the fact that He had heard her and that He still hears her. Even when things seem toughest for you and for me, God wants us to always remember that He both sees and hears us. And because of that, we can have confidence. Hebrews 4:16 reads, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Now, this doesn't mean marching into the throne room of God with a long list of demands, but humbly knowing that our Heavenly Father, He both knows our needs and is actually eager to meet them. So what do we have confidence in? We have confidence in the fact that God hears us. And John doesn't mean that God simply knows what we need. But that word "hear," it implies a response from God. God hears and He answers our prayers. Once while crossing the Atlantic on an ocean liner, F.B. Meyer was asked to address the first class passengers. And so at the captain's request, he spoke on answered prayer. There was an agnostic there who was present at the service, and he was asked by his friends, what did you think of Dr. Meyer's sermon? And he answered, I didn't believe a word of it. That afternoon, Meyer went to speak to the steerage passengers, and many of the listeners at his morning address went along as well, including the agnostic who claimed that he just wanted to hear what the babbler had to say. Before starting for the service, the agnostic put two oranges in his pocket, and on his way he passed an elderly woman sitting in her deck chair fast asleep, and her hands were open. And in the spirit of fun, the agnostic put the two oranges in her outstretched palms. And after the meeting, he saw the old lady happily eating one of the pieces of fruit, and he said, "You seem to be enjoying that orange." "Well, yes, sir," she replied. "My father is very good to me." "Your father? Surely your father can't still be alive." And she said, "Praise God, he is very much alive." "Well, what do you mean?" pressed the agnostic. And she explained, "I'll tell you, sir, I have been seasick for days. I was asking God somehow to send me an orange, and I suppose I fell asleep while I was praying, but when I awoke, I found He not only sent me one, but two." And the agnostic, he was speechless, and in fact, later he was converted to Christ. Praying in God's will brings an answer. I think one of the most amazing things for us as Christians to witness is how God hears and answers prayer. And yet sometimes I think God, He's just waiting to move. If we would just bend the knee and ask Him to. Now, one of the things about prayer that we have to remember is that although God's love is unconditional, His response to our prayers is not. And John makes that very clear. What is the condition that John gives before God will answer our prayers? That we ask according to His will. He says in verse 14, "If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." Now, the way that you and I approach this is we will ask Jesus for something, and we will hope that it's His will. If we watch and it doesn't happen, then we conclude it wasn't his will. If it does happen, then it must have been his will. But in either case, we don't know what's going to happen, and what does happen is what supposedly reveals to us what the will of God was. But I'd like to challenge you on this point, because I believe that interpretation is out of tune with what John has been saying in this passage. He's just said that we can have confidence. Confidence of what? Not confidence only that God will hear us, but confidence that, verse 15, we have what we asked of him. In other words, what John is saying is that we can have confidence ahead of time, going into prayer, approaching God, knowing what his answer is going to be. I don't think you can interpret that verse any other way because of the tense that John uses. He tells us to believe that we have what we asked of him. In other words, we have already received it. Well, how can we do that if we're unsure of how God is going to answer? That wouldn't even make sense. No, what John is saying here is that you can know, maybe not always, but often, how God is going to answer. Well, how is that? Well, I think we need to go back to that phrase, if we ask anything according to his will, because it's then that he is said to hear us. What John is saying is you can know ahead of time what God's answer is going to be if you pray in accordance with his will. Well, how do we do that? First, we must seek the will of God. And waiting till after you pray to see what happens is too late to see what the will of God is. That isn't confidence. That's guessing and hoping. No, we first seek God's will in a situation, and then we pray that that will might be accomplished. And my point is that before we ask, there ought to be a seeking period when you ask God to make his will known to you. And that involves listening as much as anything else. We ask God to reveal himself. We seek him in his word. We follow the guidance of his Holy Spirit. And God makes his will known to us, or if not specifically, he'll at least reveal to you how to pray. And it's then that we can pray with certainty, with confidence, with assurance that it will indeed happen because God is leading our prayer. We can pray with confidence, with certainty. We can pray knowing that God will move. Asking God for something is not enough. Praying that God's will happen in a situation is not enough. We must take the time to actually seek his will so that when we pray, knowing as much of his will as he will allow us to, we can pray in faith, in confidence, rather than just a kind of shallow hit or miss level of hope. Hope that is truly Christian goes much deeper than that. And so I want to encourage you today to pray in confidence. If you're like me, prayer can be a challenging thing at times. I tend to rush at God with my requests, maybe after a quick word of thanks. But prayer time in which you allow yourself the time to come into the presence of God, where you're seeking his will, aligning yourself to that will, that is the kind of prayer that can move mountains. And I want to encourage you today, and myself as well, let us commit to pray together that way as we always seek to enter into the awesome presence of God. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.